And we're starting in the middle of the Mishnah on the top of Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph. So we finished off with discussing the Mincha of the Sota and then the general principles of Menachot, how the Mincha of the Sota also has some general principles of a Sota. Now the Gemara is going to switch gears a little bit and discuss the Dinim of a Mincha in general. And the Gemara says, V'chol ha-nisu'ot l'kohanim, minchotehem nisrefot. Anyone who's married to a Kohen, their Mincha gets burnt. There's a din by a Kohen in general that their Mincha is be Kalil, says V'chol minchat Kohen Kalil tiyeh. Lo tochal, that any mincha of a kohen goes kaliyot, goes totally on the mizbeach, and is not eaten. So in that case, anyone who's married to a kohen also has that same status. The Gemara will discuss exactly how that works or how that functions. Now, bat Yisrael should nisei to kohen. If bat Yisrael is married to a kohen, minchata nisrefet. Over there, her mincha gets nisrefet. It takes on the character of the kohen, and therefore it's kula kaliyot. But kohenet should nisei to Yisrael, minchata neachelet. Whereas a kohenet who's married to Yisrael, her mincha takes on the character of a mincha of a Yisrael, and therefore it's eaten. Ma kohen ben kohen le kohenet. What's the difference between a kohen and a kohenet? So the Gemara, once was already discussing little nuances or a difference we saw between a kohen and a kohenet, the Mishnah expounds or gives more instances where we see that. Mincha is kohenet ne'achelet. The mincha of a kohenet, this is even before she's married, prior to she's married, a mincha of a kohenet is not under the restriction of kol mitchat kohen kalil tiyeh. That's only for a kohen and not for a kohenet. On the other hand, a minchat kohen ain't an echelas. A mincha of a kohen is kalil tiyeh, has goes totally on the mizbeach. Kohen et mitchalelet, but kohen ain't mitchalel. We see that a kohen, that a kohenet who has a bia asura la, then she will be nitchalel the kohuna. She will lose her rights to eat truma. She will also not be able to marry a kohen anymore, but that's not true of a kohen. A kohen ain't mitchalel. We'll see in the Gemara the limit for this, of why the kohen himself, who has the bia asura, his children are nitchalel, meaning his zaro nitchalel, as well as his wife, or the woman that he is involved with is nitchalel, but he himself is not nitchalel min ha-kuhuna. Kohenet mitamei l'meitim, ben kohen mitamei l'meitim. Kohenet can become tamei l'meitim, she's not under the restriction of the kohen to not become tamei l'meitim. On the other hand, a kohen is not allowed to be mitamei l'meitim. Again, the Gemara will give us a pasuk to teach us that is the case. Kohen ochel b'kodshei kodoshim, ben kohenet ochel b'kodshei kodoshim. Kodesh Kodashim have to be eaten by Zichrei Kehuna, by the males of the Kohanim, and therefore only a Kohen can eat the Kodesh Kodashim, whereas a Kohenet may not eat Kodesh Kodashim. She participates in Matnas Kehuna when it comes to Kodesh Kalim or to Trumas Maestros, the Kodesh Gvul, but when it comes to Kodesh Kodashim, those are limited to the Zichrei Kehuna. Now, the Gemara, once they already discussed differences between a Kohen and a Kohenet, and the Mishnah continues with Ma Ben Ish Lisha. What's the difference between a man and a woman in general? So each pore o foreim, vein aisha pore o foremet. When it comes to tzorat, right, there's a requirement of a mitzorah that he let his hair grow out and that his gadim, his clothing, become in tatters. So that requirement of pore o foreim is only shayach by an ish, by a man, but not shayachet by an isha. It doesn't apply to an isha who is a mitzorah. Ish vazir has been over nazir, so we saw this in Masechet Nazir, that a man can impose a nazirut on his son who is a katan. But a woman cannot impose that same nazirut on her child. Aish migaleach on nazirut aviv. A man came migaleach on nazirut of his father. And if his father had separated out behemoth and their behemoth stumot, then the man can be megaleach on nazirut aviv. We had there in the Gemara nazirut in the Mishnah nazirut as machlok between Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim exactly what the circumstance is, and the Braisa has the gear to the opposite. But the machlok is whether the Nizirut has to be taken after the father passes away and the behemoth stumot are available, or they both have to be Nizirim at the same time, and once the father passes away, the son can use the behemoth stumot. But in either instance, it's a ish megalech. Only the son can do this on Nizirut Aviv, and isha, but the daughter cannot be megalech on Nizirut Aviyah. A ish mekadeshet bito, a father can accept kiddushin on behalf of his daughter when she's a ketana, against her will, and he can marry her off. But a woman does not have that right, and therefore when the father passes away, if you have a ketan who gets married at the point, the kiddushim are only midirabbanon, because when a mother or a brother marries off the daughter or sister, that is only kiddushim dirabbanon when she is a ketana. Because only a father is entitled to give or accept kiddushim d'oraisa on behalf of a ketana. Ish mocher bito, ben isha mocher bita. A man can sell his daughter to be an amavriya, ketana to be an amavriya, but a isha cannot sell his daughter. Again, we'll see these psukim in the Gemara, how they darshan. A ish niskal arum, ben isha niskalet aruma. A man is stoned naked, whereas a woman is not stoned naked. Aish nitle, v'nisha nitlit. And all the kolonis skalim nitlim, anyone who gets killed also is hung afterwards. That is only true of a male who was stoned. Aish nitle, v'nisha nitlit. But a woman is not stoned. It's not hung up after she is stoned. Aish nimkar b'knevato, v'nisha nimkar b'knevato. A man can be sold to be an Eved Ivri if he has to, if his, I'm based in, on behalf of a creditors, can sell him into be an Eved Ivri to repay the debts that he has or his obligations that he has, but they cannot do that for Aisha. Aisha Yem Nim Karet, the big Nevata. Now the Gemara wants to address with the first line in the Mishnah dealt with this subject, which is Karabanan Kolonesuot, the Kohuna, Minchotayan, Nisrafot. Anybody who's married to Kohen, their Minachot are Nisrafot. So that's just a little background here to the karmanot of a kohen. In general, the principle is by a kohen that it's a minchas kohen is kulo kalil Hashem, goes entirely on the mizbeach, and it all goes, there is no komet separated from it, the entire mincha ends up on the mizbeach. As opposed to that, a minchas Yisrael, you separate out the komet is placed in a kli sharet, and then that kli sharet, they take the komet and place it on the mizbeach. The shirayim shira, that which is left over, is eaten by the kohanim. So that's a clear, in a minchas nidava. This is an involuntary offering of a mincha. That would be the distinction between a minchas kohen and a minchas Yisrael. Minchas kohen ends up totally on the mizbeach, whereas a minchas Yisrael, the komet, ends up on the mizbeach, but the shirayim are eaten by the kohanim. As opposed to that, when you have a minchas chova, a mincha that is an obligation of the kohen. For instance, where do you have a mincha that's now possibly an obligation of the kohen? That's when you have a karban olev yored. In instances where you have a karban that's determined by the economic status of the individual, the lowest form that a person can bring in that scale of karbanot is a mincha. So a kohen who brings a minchas chova, there's actually a machlokas between the rabbonon and Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, what you do with such a karban. The rabbonon believe just like the minchas of kohen nidava, it's totally placed on the mizbeach and burnt on the mizbeach without any komet, without anything else, just goes straight on the mizbeach. So too, the karban minchas chova of a kohen will end up on the mizbeach, the same way that you do it by nidava, you do it by chova, and the whole thing ends up on the mizbeach. Rabbi Shimon says, no, when it comes to a carbon nidava of a kohen, you're right. Then it's minchas kohen kola chalil, then it goes totally on mizbeach. But when it comes to minchas chova of a kohen, then you are mafresh of komets, you do take off a komets, that komets is placed on the mizbeach. What do you do with the shirayim? The shirayim cannot be eaten because it's a minchas kohen. On the other hand, they don't end up on the mizbeach because it's a minchas chova, and therefore they're placed, they're burnt in the Beit HaDeshen. They're burnt, and the shirayim are burnt in the Beit HaDeshen. So just with that background in mind, let's approach the Gemara over here. The Gemara wants to know, anyone who's married to a Kohen, their minchotayim are nisrafot. Kate said, what's this case here? Kohenet, Leviyav Yisrael, each and he saved the Kohen. One of these, any woman who's married to Kohen, then they adopt, or they have the aspects of a Kohen in their Korban Mincha. Ein minchata nechelet, mipnei sheyesh lo chelek ba. Her mincha is not eaten. Why? Because the husband, the Kohen, has a portion in the mincha, because she's married to him, and therefore, since kovash kodisha kind of bala, he has ownership in this mincha. Since he has ownership in this mincha, it takes on aspects of a minchas Kohen, and a minchas Kohen cannot be eaten. Ve'eno ola kalil, but you can't bring it on the mizbeach kalil, totally on the mizbeach, like a regular minchas Kohen, mipnei sheyesh lo chelek ba. Because the woman also has a portion of the karban over here. So what are we talking about over here? According to Rashi, the way Rashi learns on it here, we have a suffix here. Why? Because we have a mincha that actually has two parties involved with it. We have a party who the kapara, or who the mincha is being brought on their behalf, and that is the woman. And the mincha is being brought for the woman and on behalf of the woman. On the other hand, we have a baal, her husband is a kohen, who actually owns the mincha, because kohen was ishakana baal. So he has the ownership of this mincha. Nevertheless, the woman is the one who's being nitchaper, or is using this korban mincha, or is being brought on her behalf. So according to Rashi, we have a suffix. We don't know what dictates over here. Does the ownership of the husband dictate over here? Or does the ownership of the, or does the kapara on behalf of the woman dictate over here? So is it the kohen's mincha, and therefore we'll have a din of bikulu kalil? Or on the other hand, is it the mincha of the woman, and therefore we'll have a regular din of a minchas Yisrael? Because even a kohenet has a din of minchas Yisrael. So that's the way Rashi says. Tosfos on the other hand, learns no. And it's not a question of suffek here. This is actually a mincha that has dual aspects to it. This mincha has joint ownership in the sense that the husband owns the mincha, and then the mincha is coming on behalf of the woman as a kapara, and therefore they both have a chelik in this mincha. So it's not that it's a suffix what the mincha is, but this mincha has aspects of both the kohen and the woman in it. According to Tosfos, we know there's a din that you can bring karbanot b'shutfos. You're allowed to bring karbanot of a behemah b'shutfos in partnership, but you cannot bring a mincha b'shutfos. So the way Tosfos is learning over here, according to Rashi, there's only one owner here. It's either the husband or the wife. We just don't know which one, so we have to deal with that suffix. Whereas according to Tosfos, they both have a piece of the ownership here. If they both have a piece of the ownership here, then it should be like a karban shutfut. So how come, if it's a karban shutfut, you're allowed to bring it as a mincha? So Tosfos says it's not really a karban shutfut, because in the end, the requirement that you don't have a karban shutfut is that it comes from the term nefesh, that it can only belong to one nefesh. And over here, we know that the kapara only belongs to the woman. So in each aspect of the mincha, it only belongs to that one individual. So the aspect of the kapara only belongs to the woman. So there's no shutfus in the kapara, and the ownership is to the husband, and there's no shutfus in the ownership. So each one in their aspect has an entirety of the mincha, but together they have a picture of a total mincha. So it's not a partnership here, but rather some sort of single ownership that has two parties to the single ownership. So this gives an example of that by Yerusha. Yerusha, a mincha that's brought down, that was given over by a father in Yerusha, that the two sons can bring the mincha, because the estate owns the mincha. So even though there are two owners of the estate, there's a single entity that's bringing the mincha. So too over here. Now based on that suffix, now the Gemara says, what are we going to do here? We can't put the mincha on the mizbeach entirely, because the woman has a portion of this mincha. And therefore, she, because of her ownership, we need to have a kohen, and the shirayim would have been nechalim. On the other hand, we can't have the shirayim be nechalim because the kohen has the aspect, and that should be kula kolil. So what do we do? So the Gemara says, no problem. Ela komet kari basmo, v'shirayim kribim basmo. What we'll do is we'll separate out the komet, place that on the mizbeach, and then the shirayim, after we're finished, we'll take the shirayim and place them also on the mizbeach. So the Gemara says, Ifrei Khan, how can you do this? Kol shubi men ulishim, hariyu v'valtak tiru. Right, there's a general principle that when there's a requirement to place something on the mizbeach, only that item, koshu mimenu, only that item can go onto the mizbeach, but any other residual item, which is either supposed to be eaten by the kohanim or supposed to go out not to be on the mizbeach, then that may not go on the mizbeach and hurry up about tafiru as an isur of being placed on the mizbeach. So over here, how can you place the shirayim on the mizbeach? Right, according to Rashi, why? Because we have a suffix that this might belong to the woman. This might belong to the woman, then the shirayim should be nechalim by the kohanim. If they should be eaten by the kohanim, then there's an issur placing them on mizbeach. Right, the thought was that the joint ownership of the woman, right, will require some sort of eating or prevent it, the shirayim from ending up in the mizbeach. So how are we going to solve this problem? The Gemara says, "Amr you the brother of Shimon ben Pazit, the mitzvah of the Shema Eid, Sim Kor Belaza." No, that we'll go like the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. What's the opinion of Rabbi Elazar? The Tanya, Rabbi Elazar, Omer, the Reach Nicholach, Yitamaleh, Tamaleh, the Shumetim. Rabbi Elazar says that we limit this requirement that things do that do not belong in the Mizbeach. That is limited when you're placing on the Mizbeach the Reach Nicholach. When your intention, when you place on the Mizbeach, is to be a Karban. But if you place them on the Mizbeach to be fuel or firewood, that is not under this restriction of Baal Tafirut. This is machlokus between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim. It's actually machlokus in Gemara and Zvachim. For instance, when you have a case where there are Evrei Ola and Evrei Chatat mixed together, you have limbs of a Chatat and limbs of an Ola that are mixed together. Now, an Ola, all the Evarim are supposed to end up on the Mizbeach. Evrei Chatat belongs to the Kohanim and needs to be eaten by the Kohanim. So now, when you have them mixed together, what are you going to do? If you're going to put them on the Mizbeach, then it's going to be a problem for the Evrei Chatat. They don't belong on the Mizbeach. The Kohanim are supposed to eat them, so there's Nisr Lav, there's a Lav to place them on the Mizbeach. On the other hand, if you don't put them on the Mizbeach and you want to eat them, you can't eat them because you have the Evrei Ola. So what's the suggestion? The Chachamim say to Bar Suratan, that you have to let them rot and then they are burnt because you can't do anything with them. Elazar says, no, put them on the Mizbeach. You'll place them on the Mizbeach because the Evrei Ola belong on the Mizbeach, so that's not a problem. Ah, what about the Evrei Chatat? They don't belong on the Mizbeach. So no, Rabbi Elazar says, look at the Evrei Chatat as if they are firewood. Don't place them on the Mizbeach with the intention that they should be mukrav on the Mizbeach, but you place them on the Mizbeach, but the Evrei Chatat will be fuel for the Evrei Ola. And then according to Rabbi Elazar, there's no restriction when you put something as fuel on the Mizbeach, there's no restriction of putting such an item on the Mizbeach. So too over here. What you're going to do is you'll separate out the komet because of the woman's ownership here, as opposed to the kohen where you put a kula kalil on the Mizbeach. But on the other hand, the shirayim, what are you going to do with the shirayim? You can't eat them because the kohen has some aspect of ownership here, and you can't put them on the Mizbeach because of the woman's ownership. So we'll go like Rabbi Elazar. We will put them on the Mizbeach, but we'll put them on the Mizbeach, according to Rashi, al-Tanai. we'll do this on a condition. You'll take them out to inspect and say, if the Kohen's ownership dictates over here, then this Shirayim are going to Mizbeach to be Kaliyo Lashem, because they need to go on the Mizbeach. Or, but if the woman's ownership is what dictates over here, then we're going to place them as Mizbeach as fuel. They'll just be like Eitzim, they'll be like regular wood and go on the Mizbeach. That's according to Rashi, who says that there's a safek in who really owns it here. Whereas the Tosafot says that both of them have an aspect of ownership in the Mincha. Tosafot says you don't have to make a Tanai at all, because each, the Mincha itself has both aspects to it. It has an aspect of a Kohen and an aspect of a Yisrael. And since it has both aspects to it, you just put on the Mizbeach and say it'll be L'shum Eitzim. Because you don't know. In each piece, there's a portion that's owned by the Kohen and a portion owned by the woman. You can't make such a Tanai because it's not clear that one of them really owns it. So now the Gemara says, all right, Anichal Rabbi Lazar. That answers up according to Rabbi Lazar, who has such an opinion. The Yisrael High Svara. El Rabbanon, who argue on Rabbi Lazar and say you can't put something on his Beach, they seem. The Yisrael High Svara, Ma Yikal Meimar. What are you going to say about them? So the Gemara says, the Abdulluk, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon. They hold like Rabbi Elazar, they'll hold like Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon over here. Now again, we said this in the introduction to this piece, that what? There's a machlokes between the Chachamim and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. What happens to the carbon chova of a Kohen? When a Kohen brings an obligatory Kohen mincha, what happens to it? So you know when he brings a carbon mincha, it's kulu kalil, it all ends up in the Mizbeach. There's a carbon chova that he's bringing, and there's a machlokes between Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan again say that it looks exactly like a carbon divine, it goes kulu kalil on Mizbeach, it goes entirely on the Mizbeach. Whereas Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon argues, no. Then when it comes to a carbon chova of a Kohen, you have to separate out the komets, and the komets goes on the Mizbeach, but the Shirayim are not Nechalim, because he's a Kohen, but they end up on the Beit HaDeshen. You burn them on the Beit HaDeshen. So the Gemara says, they'll hold like Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. The Tanya, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, Omer HaKomet, Karev Batzmo. The komets goes on the Mizbeach, but Shirayim is Padre on Beit HaDeshen, and the Shirayim are burnt in the Kodesh, there on the Beit HaDeshen. So, but the Rabbanan argue on Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara says, Vafilu, even the Rabbanan, Lo Pligei Alei Rabbi Shimon, in our case over here. Even the Rabbanan, who argue in general on Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, and believe that a carbon chova, right, has a komet taken off from it, as the Chachamim say, no, it's still Kulo Kalil. In this instance, they're going to agree to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon's idea. Why? The Rabbanan, Lo Pligei Alei Rabbi Shimon, El Beminchas Choteh, Shokohanim. That's when he's bringing a Minchas Chatat. The Bat HaKrobahi, because there it's supposed to end up on the Mizbeach. The whole thing's supposed to end up on the Mizbeach. Baha, I feel the Rabbanan Moses. What do you mean, Baha? In our case over here, even the Rabbanan are going to agree. Like Rashi says, because there's a possible ownership of the woman over here. And you have to deal with the ownership of the woman. So the Rabbanan have to agree, because of the ownership of the woman, that you have to have the Komet separated out. What do you do with the Shirayim? They're going to deal with the Shirayim, like Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon deals with the Shirayim. Right, in the case of the Minchas Kotel, they're going to burn it on the Beit HaDeshen. You can't eat it because of the Kohen's aspect of it. You can't put it on the Mizbeach because of the woman's aspect of it. So you burn it in the Beit HaDeshen, which is in the Kodesh, as opposed to Rabbi Elazar, whose solution is to put on the Mizbeach, Lishum Eitzim. Now the Gemara is going to continue and go through each of the cases in our Mishnah and give the psukim that support or determine this, what the Allah is. So Bat Yisrael and Nisuah, we said before that a Kohenet does not have a din of mincha kalil, whereas the kohen does. My time, the Amar v'chol minchat kohen kalil tiyeh lo tochal. Right, it says chol minchat kohen, kohen below kohenet. So it only applies to a kohen. To a male kohen, does not apply to a kohenet. So even when she's not married, right, a mincha of a kohenet will not be kalil Hashem. And certainly when she's married to Israel, then that will be the case. And anybody who's married to a kohen, we just discussed what the issues are of being married to a kohen. That it will be kulu kalil. How it works to be kulu kalil, that was the discussion in our Gemara. Now, Kohen is mitchalel, the Kohen ain't mitchalel. Minolan, how do you know that a woman becomes mitchalel if she has a isur biyah, that she has relations with an isur biyah, whereas the Kohen is not mitchalel? Minolan, damakal, lo yichalel zaro bi'amav. Zaro mitchalel, vehuno ain't mitchalel. So Rashi says over here, what the limit is here, lo yichalel, we have shnei chilulim akotit midaber. Same about two chilulim. Two people become nechalel. Who are the two people? Bivak Malar is Zaro, his offspring becomes a Chalal, Kohen Chalal, and what else? The woman that he had a relationship with also becomes a Chalalet. But he, Zaro Mitzchalal, the Kohen Mitzchalal, but the Kohen himself does not change his status, he does not become a Kohen Chalal. Now Kohen is Mitzamel HaMeitim, whereas a Kohen is not Mitzamel HaMeitim, my time on Makra, and more Ela Kohenim, Bnei Aron. Bnei Aron are Mitzuveh on, is not becoming Mitzamel HaMeitim, below Benot Aron, whereas the women are not. So Kohen Ochel B'Kodesh Kodoshim. Kohen eats Kohen B'Kodesh Kodoshim, but Kohen does not distinct. Why? Because there's a requirement of Zichrei Kehuna by Kodesh Kodoshim, because it says, Kol Zachar B'Bnei Aron Yochlena. When it comes to Kodesh Kodoshim, there's a requirement of Zachar B'Bnei Aron, Zichrei Kehuna, as opposed to Kochim Kalim or Kochim Gvul, where the Kohenet belongs to the whole family of the Kohen, even the Kohenet can eat it. But when it comes to Kochim Kadoshim, that's to be eaten in the Mikdash, that is only limited to Zichrei Kuhuna, and that applies to Bnei Aron and not to Benot Aron. Ma Ben Ish, the Ishat. And the Mishnah continued, what's the difference between Ish and Ishat? So Tarabat and Ish, by the Parsha Mitzorah, it says Ish, and Liela Ish. So I would think that the whole Parsha, Parsha Mitzorah applies only to an Ish and not to an Isha. Isha Minayin. How do I know that it also applies to a woman? Because Shua Merbat Saru Asher Bo. Right? It sounds like Harikan Shnayim. That sounds like it doesn't matter who it applies to. It applies to man or a woman. Im Kei Matam Ish. So if it applies to man or woman, why does the Torah limit its terminology or use the term Ish, which sounds like an exclusive term? So where it says, that comes to teach you that there's certain dinim of a Torah that only apply to, or Mitzorah, that only apply to a man and don't apply to women. What is that? That an ish is poreo poreim, and a woman is not paras umuforamet. So a mitzorah is required to have priya and prima, whereas a mitzorah does have dinim of a tzorat. She has the full parsha of tzorat, but she's excluded from the word ish from that parsha, or one din in tzorat, which is that she doesn't have to be poreya uporeim, that she doesn't have to be paras umuforamet. Now, ish madirat beno benazir, ben isha madirat beno benazir, that a father is madirat son in nizirut, but not a Isha. Why does that? A Rabbi Yochanan Alocha Ibn Nazir. Wait, the Gemara here only brings down one of the two opinions that the Gemara Nazir brings down. Rabbi Yochanan says that's Alocha Moshe Mitzrayim, and that's Alocha Moshe Mitzrayim, that only a father can do it and not a mother. On the other hand, Reish Lakish there argues on Rabbi Yochanan and the Gemara Nazir. The Reish Lakish's opinion is very difficult. He says that it is Mitzad Chinuch, that the father can do it Mitzad Chinuch, and since the Chinuch is in the obligation of Chinuch is on the father and not necessarily on the mother, therefore it's the father who can do it and not the mother. Mara probably doesn't bring it here because Rabbi Lakish's opinion runs into a lot of problems because we have halachos d'oraisa here that are being generated or even being violated because of a chinuch d'rabbonim. So it's much more appealing to use Rabbi Yochanan, which is halachah ibn ozir, halachah moshe mitzrayim. Aish megaleach on nizirut aviv and isha megalechet on nizirut aviyah, that a man is megaleach on nizirut of his father, not the isha. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, and again, there's Machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan says, Alacha Ibn Nazir, Alacha Moshe Mitzrayim. Again, the Gemara does not bring down the opinion of Reish Lakish, the other opinion, the opposing opinion to Rabbi Yochanan over here. But again, it's Alacha Moshe Mitzrayim, that only a son can do it with his father. Aish Mikadesh Bito, Ve'ina Isha Mikadeshet Et Bita. A man can be Mikadesh his daughter, but not a woman cannot be Mikadesh her daughter. Why is that? It says in Devarim, Et Bitina Tatli Shazeh. When it comes to Motzi Shemra, when the man is describing to the basin what happened, he says, I gave my daughter to this man. So what do you mean, I gave my daughter to this man? Must be that he's able to accept the kesef kiddushin of his daughter, and he gave his daughter to this man. So therefore, ish mocheret bito, therefore, it's only an ish can be mekadesh's daughter and not an isha. Next line, ish mocheret bito and isha mocheret bita. So this we have from Parshat Mishpatim, it says, b'chim kor ish et bito. When a man sells his daughter. So it's an ish can sell his daughter, and not an isha that can sell his daughter to be a ama ivriya. Aish niskal arum, a man is stone naked, whereas a woman is not stone naked. My Tabe says, Ragmo Oto, says he is stoned. My Oto, Ilim Oto Velo Oto, I mean that only the man gets stoned and not she doesn't get stoned. Ba'aktivo, Seita Ishahu, Oet Aishahi, that the Torah equates the punishment of the man and the woman, they both get punished with skila. So what's the limitation of Oto? El Oto Velo Ksuto. Oto means that when we stone him, it's got to be him with nothing intervening between him and the stone. How is that? That's when he's naked. So Oto Velo Ksuto, Velo Ota Velo Ksuta. Means that he gets stoned in that manner, but Lo Ota, she does not get stoned in that manner. We did have a machlokas earlier in the Gemara about how much clothing does she wear. That was a machlokas of Barolo Mita Yopev after the Recha Kamocha. There's a Gemara machlokas whether she's covered entirely because she'd rather not have any busha and die a little slower. Or the other opinion was that she was only partially covered, in order that she should die faster because that would be a mitzvah yofe b'shvila, and she would rather take a little embarrassment in order to die faster. Or ish nitzlev and isha nitzlev. My tamar makra ba talita oto al eitz. That it says that you hang him on the eitz. Oto velo ota. He gets hung on the eitz and not her. Again, from Parshat Mishpatim, my time on Makra, Vinim Karbinato. When he's in debt, Beis Din can sell him into debt to pay off the creditors. He can sell him as an Eved Ivri on behalf of the creditors in order to collect money so they can pay back these creditors. Says Vinim Karbinato. That's from the male form. In his stealing, and the debts that he creates from stealing, right? Then he gets sold into being Ebedi free, but that not the Gnevata, not in her stealing, where her debts come because that she can't, unable to repay the Gnevata. She is not sold by the basement to be an Ama Ivriya. All right, we'll stop here.